This week on Barbell Shrug, we interview
Annie Sakamoto,
Ron Ortiz,
and what do we talk about?
Old people. Old people.
Metamucil? No, magnesium.
Whippersnappers.
Oh, Metamucil.
Fig Newtons. Ginger snaps.
Ginkgo biloba.
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
All right.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter, we'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday, head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Alright, so welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, here with Alex Macklin.
Yo.
CTP behind the camera. And today, our very special guest.
Wow.
Annie Sakamoto.
Aww.
And Ron Ortiz.
Gotta hurry up. We're getting older as we speak.
Clocks are ticking. The sundial's moving.
Yeah. So, very excited to dive into this episode. I've been wanting to interview you guys for a long time. So, before we get started, make sure, if you haven't yet, go over to shrugstrengthtest.com. Sign up. We'll send you a really cool test that you can do. It's going to show you a bunch of different movements and then run you through a bunch of exercises that shows you any imbalances and weaknesses that you might have. And then we will send you some really cool feedback and results on that.
Shameless All right, so plug to get that out of the way.
Do that.
Yeah,
I better do that.
I am not good at that stuff, man.
Before we start, let me do that.
It's not. I mean, it's free, so it's not. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those things, you know. Something we want to give away to you. Anyways,
what do you guys do on? What exactly is that?
The Shrug Strength Test.
Yeah. Talk to
we're talking about me now?
Yeah, yeah.
No one's ever asked me that.
I want to know this.
It's a 3-day test that you do that we created.
Too long.
It's okay.
It's time out.
It's 16 exercises.
Okay.
15 or 16. And you basically run through all these exercises. It's a bunch of different tests of different movements. It's basically like a strength imbalance test. Shows you how strong you are left to right, structural balance, oh, wow. Deadlifts, pull-ups, all these different things you can do. And when you get done with it, you learn a lot about yourself. Like, oh, my push is like way stronger than my pull. I need to work on this. Like, how strong is my grip? How strong is your left to right lateral stability?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it gets like really detailed.
Oh, that's good.
Did I do that well?
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
I think that was.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know how imbalanced I am.
No, it's a lot of fun. So, anyways, let's talk about you guys.
All right.
Yeah. So, Ron, tell us about yourself. Nope. You know what? Nope. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Ladies first.
Annie, yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I want to hear Ron's story.
No, you're so. I'll cheat off of you. Go ahead.
And say that you once were Asian as well.
I was born a short Asian.
How are you once Asian?
I just grew into a Mexican. I don't know.
I think I was Mexican before I was Asian.
See?
Well, I found CrossFit in, let's see, 2014. Uh-huh. No, 2004.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, I'm so old, I forget.
2014.
What year is it now?
Oh, like 2014. Yeah. 2014.
Pretty close. It's 2016 now.
Just found it 2 years ago. No, 2004. Oh, and before that, I was, and you can laugh, I was teaching cardio kickboxing classes.
Nice.
And I thought, like.
Like Tai Bo? Kind of?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
You just dropped
like
Tai
with these, like with a microphone.
With Billy Blanks?
Whole, oh,
Billy
yeah.
Blanks video
Well,
tape?
I was aspiring to work with Billy Blanks, but I wasn't there yet.
My mom used to teach aerobics with
she
a headset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
she
I
was,
thought I,
she was
yeah,
a beast.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Yep.
And I knew Eva Tordokens, who was one of the original CrossFit ladies, mm-hmm. And she said, I want you to come try CrossFit, and I was like, no way, I'm fit enough, I've got this, you should try my cardio kickboxing.
I can kick for 2 hours.
Yep. And anyway, she brought me in, she kind of turned me onto it, and then that was it. I was hooked and left my gloves behind.
Uh-huh.
Did
my
you
microphone.
Feel, did you feel you were fit enough when you first tried CrossFit?
Well, that's I'm glad you asked me. So the very first workout she gave me was 10 deadlifts at 65 pounds, 10 pass-throughs on the pommel horse. We had a pommel horse at the original
wow.
CrossFit gym.
Oh, cool.
And a 400-meter run. And it was 3 rounds. But back – and I was by myself. So mm-hmm. a 400-meter run was really just like a 400-meter trot. And I had that moment. I was like – you should really try my Tai Bo class because this isn't fitness. And actually, to her credit, she was very careful about the way she brought me in.
Yeah.
So I told my husband about it. I said, I think I got this thing. I think I'm going to be really good, whatever. And he said he had actually done it before with Greg and a couple of surfers that were in Santa Cruz at the time. And he said, oh, I'll go to a class with you. So we came back on a Friday morning, I think at 7 a.m. And Greg and Lauren were coaching that class. And I remember specifically the workout that day was three rounds, 500-meter row, like 30 squats, 15 kettlebell swings, three trips around a cargo net. We had a cargo net back then.
Nice.
We weren't supposed to touch the ground, and they didn't teach you how to use it. It was just like go. And then 25 glute ham sit-ups all the way back, all the way up. Mm. And he staggered the start so that you were trying to catch the person in front of you but not let the person that started behind you catch you.
Oh, fun.
Perfect. There's the intensity piece.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
if you
right.
don't understand yeah, it, yeah. that was a perfect way to show the intensity piece. So I did the whole thing. I did all 75 glute ham sit-ups all the way back, all the way up, and just didn't know any different.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And the next, and I was like, that was great. I mean, that was the intensity piece I was missing from the first time.
Yeah.
So the next day, I was like, oh, my stomach's kind of sore. The next day,
yeah. 2 days later,
could you walk?
Reason,
I couldn't bend forward. I couldn't bend backwards. I couldn't laugh, fart, cough, sneeze. I was done.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I was distended. My belly was distended. And I told Jake, like, I have a hernia. You need to take me to the hospital.
No.
Luckily, they didn't take me. He didn't take
Did
me to the hospital.
Did you just foam roll it or something?
Just had some mad, just had some mad DOMS. That's it.
Oh, it was so bad. And I was one of those people like that hooked me. You know, it seems like a lot of people,
that's either
the no way I'm never going back.
Oh,
or,
yeah. Well, you're leaving out some other things, too. You've competed at a high level in CrossFit.
There was no competition. There was no CrossFit Games back then. So it was just a lot of us kind of pushing each other and kind of finding our limits. And then when the CrossFit Games, the 2007 CrossFit Games, I had just had my daughter. Mm-hmm. So I didn't compete in the first CrossFit Games. I opted out also of 2008. And then 2009, I did team just with a couple people at our gym. And then 2011, I finally got the courage to do regionals. That was the first year of the Open. I made it in the Open. I made it to regionals. I had no interest in doing regionals at that point. There were so many new people coming in, and I really was kind of nervous to test where I might fall with all of the new guard you know, that had moved in. Mm-hmm. But a couple people convinced me to do it, and then that was it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh, and you're competing in and competing in the Masters level?
This is my first year in the Masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
For regionals?
So for the Masters, it's just the Masters qualifier which just happened. Yep.
Right.
I made it to regionals for the Northern California region as well, but I'm going to opt out of that and really just focus on Masters
level.
Yeah.
Right. What age group? I'm not going to ask your exact age. I'm just going to ask.
No, do
I'm
it.
A gentleman.
I'm do it. I just turned 40 this year, so I'm in the very first. Yeah.
Okay.
Very See that gray hair? Look at that. It's in there.
What other years did you compete?
I was at the games 2011, 2012.
Okay.
But I've been at the regionals 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Oh, cool.
So this will be my first year not at regionals.
Yeah.
Which is hard because I really do like regionals.
Yeah.
It's a ton of fun. But for me, I want to put the focus on the games this year.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to have made it back to Carson.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. And I actually first met Ron in Carson in 2012.
11. She's awesome. Let me tell you what happened. So during the time that she was talking about all of the stuff going on with her, you know, doing the workouts, we were like busy creeping on Nasty Girls. You have to realize there's a whole group of us at the fire station. I'm like, oh my God, let these girls go.
Explain that real quick.
Okay. So I actually started doing CrossFit, but it was through videos like Nasty Girls that Annie was involved in that. We were like, man, if they can do this, we should be able to do this. And getting on the rings the first time, you're like.
I thought that was the first workout you ever did.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say
God,
that.
No.
That would have been pretty cool.
I'm not too familiar. I'm weightlifter. So what is Nasty Girls again?
What?
Yes.
Oh,
I love people that don't know what it is.
And there are people listening that don't know. So what's the workout?
So it's the video. You have to tell us what the workout is because I don't remember. All I remember is the ring muscle up, the strict ring muscle up. So it's, I was like, oh, my God.
It's three rounds. I think it starts with 50 air squats. 7 muscle ups and then 10 hang power cleans.
Okay.
And it's 3 rounds of that. At the time, so it was myself, Eva T, and Nicole Carroll that did the workout, and we were
all pretty hot. We're like going, oh my gosh.
It was all that Tai Bo I did.
Yeah.
Exactly. we were on rings where we had to kneel so that we could all be, I mean, gyms mm-hmm. didn't have, well, this was the original CrossFit gym. We had one set of rings. So in order for all of us to do it, we just hung rings mm-hmm. from a pull-up bar. Mm-hmm. So we were all having to go off of our knees. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew how to kip. Mm-hmm. So we, it's not prescribed as strict muscle-ups.
You're doing strict muscle-ups.
But we were really doing strict muscle-ups.
They were doing strict
muscle-ups. Because we didn't know it any different. Yeah. We were too stupid to know how to kip.
Hey, train stupid, cool. Whatever.
Sorry, we totally derailed you.
No. It's good, man, because I didn't know exactly the sequence. But there were certain parts of it where we're like going, there's no way. Mm-hmm. How are these guys doing this? Mm-hmm. So along with creeping on her. So we would always watch these videos and – continue to just, that's how we grew. Like our the guys at the fire station, we continued to grow just by watching what mm-hmm. they were doing and the progression of what was going on with CrossFit as a whole.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We just go, okay,
CrossFit Journal videos back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what kind of carried us through to that next stage. And I mean, it just continued to grow with us.
Sure.
I mean, we had a few of us that were really grasped a hold of it and continued to, like, I went to sectionals.
Mm-hmm.
It was sectionals back,
back
then,
when right? there was
2010.
Yeah. 2010. Yeah.
And I just got obliterated by all these young guys. I'm like, they have to have a master's.
Okay. Hey,
there's just no way this is going to work out. So I tried a couple of years sectionals, got blown away, and then continued on through in 2011 when they first had masters.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. how I, so we
and
met.
And the first age group was 45 back then.
45.
They didn't have a 40.
No, they started with 50, I think, the very first year.
Wow.
And then mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I'll have to wait till then. I actually did it. Mm-hmm. I remember walking underground after our ceremony back in the back 40. The grass, it was a parking lot like this.
It was the best.
And I was walking through there, and Annie kind of stopped me. She goes, you're a master at that. I was like, yeah. And she goes, how'd you do? I go, I did pretty good. She goes, well, no, how'd you do? I got third place. And she, like, gives me this big Annie hug
cool.
around the waist. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She goes, so what's wrong? I was like, well, you know, I thought I could have done better. She goes, are you kidding me? So she totally, like, I left there going, she's absolutely right. You mm-hmm. know, I got to keep my head up and be excited about what happened. And then she just hugged me, so it was even better.
What year was this?
2011.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's
cool.
The first year they had the 45 to 49.
Gotcha. So,
and from there, it's just kind of
sure. You
snowballed.
Competed every year since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And what have you been, like, what is your highest level of competition in CrossFit?
The games.
Okay.
Basically, the games. I was fortunate to win in 13. And
so you won the games in 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, you left
and
that
what
out.
Age division? Yeah. Yeah. What age division?
Now I'm 50. I just turned 50, but that was 45 to 49.
45 to 49. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then in 2004, have you been going since then?
Every year.
Yeah. I've been fortunate to make it. One year I thought I was going to. I had some shoulder surgery go on, but I was able to come out and do pretty well.
Yeah, not a little surgery hold you back?
No. What's crazy is that to watch the level of competition come through, because mm-hmm. now you have Annie and Bill Grundler
mm-hmm. yeah.
and these other athletes that are just all regional athletes, level athletes that are coming through. Sean Ramirez is mm-hmm. another one that are just crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the first Masters division, you know, it's one of those where it's like all these guys probably could have been in regionals or were close to it at least. It's like it's just as competitive.
A lot of the ladies in my my division mm-hmm. are doing regionals. They made it to regionals and are actually competing.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, Ron, how did it feel, man? Like, you won the CrossFit Games.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
How did it feel? It came from that.
It was surreal. It was funny because I went in thinking, oh yeah, I got a pretty good chance. And every year you think that, obviously, you're not going to lose. You're going to participate and do things at the best level. But it came down to kind of the last mm-hmm. event, and I started out, and I remember Jerry Hill, who's another mm-hmm. Masters crazy
animal.
So he and I were kind of like right in there. We were in the mix, and we had to do 100 double unders, and I'm busting through these 100 double unders, and Jerry's going. I'm like looking. I'm like, he's going to kill this. And he takes off on the run, and he drops his jump rope, and it like lassos his feet. I mean, when I say lasso, is like almost a knot around his ankle. And he's like stopped in his tracks, I just continued to run. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Look back, and he's like trying to get this thing off his foot, and he's trying to run with it, but it's like literally knotted his legs. And we talk about it all the time. So I took off running, then we had rope climbs and some other stuff. And at the last thing, I was coming around the corner going, holy crap, this or so, and I was running as fast as I could, but I was running like an old man. It was like,
he had his cane.
Barely getting down the track. And I was like, if somebody took off running after me right now, they would pass me. And yeah, it was kind of surreal. I stopped. I was like, wow, man, that just happened.
Did you ever think when you started, did you ever think you would get to that level and win the CrossFit Games?
You hope you do. Like I said, you go into it every year going, okay, I'm prepared as far as I can be. Yeah. I've done everything I can do at this point. But it also depends on the workouts, too. The workouts are a big part of it. You know, you can have a ton of gymnastic stuff and have a gymnastics guy that's going to just crush you, or have a few heavy weighted things, and then the bigger guys will do better. So they always do a very good job at making sure that it's pretty even across the board.
Yeah, I think the top level athletes, the top, let's say, 8, you know, to 10 athletes will always be there.
Yeah.
But I think, like Ron said, you know, some years they might just – some of the workouts might lend themselves to an engine. Some years it might lend themselves to a little bit more skill on gymnastics. And and we all expect that we know that that's what's going to happen. So are the fittest? Definitely. But I think, really, when you're looking at the top, you know, 5 to 10 – any one of them could be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a good point of why it's important, if you make it to that level, that you need to go in with the mindset that it could happen. You know, you could be up there, and you can't count yourself out.
Nope.
Very cool.
Well, I was going to ask, like, as a master's athlete, like, how do you train? Like, how do you train for this?
I mean, you're, you want to hit that?
Very carefully. I started working with Jason Lydon this year, and it's been the kind of a phenomenal year for me as far as the way I feel. And he said it early on, which was great. You know, you only are as old as you feel. And he's right. And I act like I'm about 17. So sometimes I feel like I'm 17. Then there's also days, you know, I have two kids and they have sports and activities and they're young. And sometimes sleep just isn't what it should be or could be because of other obligations. So it's just knowing the days that I can push and that what he's given me, I can really go for it. And then knowing the days that I got to back off a little bit, it's not worth it.
It sounds like you have a lot of confidence in that. And have you always been that way? Have you always just trusted the plan, or, you know, was it different? You know?
I have always trusted the plan. The coach I had before this, I actually worked in the gym with him, so he could see me. So that was, in some ways, this year has been a real growing year for me, because he would watch me work out and he would adjust the workouts on the fly depending on, he could tell if my energy was low, my energy was high. So this year has been a really good year for me, because I've had to think a little bit more for myself, even on the open workouts and everything. I've really had to be a little bit more mindful of myself. But I'm always in communication with Jay, and he's really good about giving me feedback.
What specifically has he been working with you on?
Mainly my engine, because I've actually been working with Mike Serbis on my Olympic lifting. I had a lot of bad habits that I had to clean up, and I've been working with Dave on my gymnastics, because same thing, you know. We didn't have coaches like Dave and Mike and Chad and those guys in the early years. And so we were kind of, I don't want to say making it up as we went along, but there were no Ole lifting coaches. There were no specialty coaches back then. So a lot of what I had been doing, I'd been doing for years, and I needed some help with my technique. So they really helped program so that it all makes sense for me, so I'm not doing too much, too little.
Right.
And then Jay is really good about getting me in different intervals, different modes, you know, different work durations. And so I felt that in the open this year. I felt like my motor was probably the best that it's been.
Yeah.
And healthy.
Like your old coach, does he adjust based on, like, how you're feeling, how your energy is? Do you?
That's a little bit more up to me.
Okay.
Because he'll send me my week of programming. Like, on Tuesday, he'll send me next week's week of programming. And so I'll, you know, it's a little bit more on me to kind of make sure that the lifting fits with everything. I mean, he'll look at everything. But if I'm doing a workout and I'm not feeling it, I've texted him and he'll say, just back off and go 80% or call it a day. But a lot of it, I have to rely on myself and look at his programming and adjust if I need to.
What's kind of like a telltale sign, like, if you're not feeling it that day?
For me, the biggest sign is, because, you know, you can go in the gym sometimes and feel kind of tired, kind of crickety, kind of old. And as soon as you start moving, you actually feel.
Every day.
What's different?
But as soon as you start moving, you feel good. Like, the heart rate, the blood flow, everything feels good.
Yeah.
And then there's other days where, you know, you go to lift, let's say, 55 pounds for a warm, and it just. it mm-hmm. feels heavy.
Yeah.
So a lot of it for me can really be the barbell or just my timing on movements. You yep. know, if it's hard to get my kip going or whatever that might be, mm-hmm. I just know. Yeah.
And so what do you do on those days? You just kind of just cut it off or do you?
It would depend probably on the day, but sometimes I'll just go light and work technique. And then other times, maybe you do a little, 20-minute row and just call it good. Or sometimes it's just stop, done. Pack it up.
Yeah, gotcha. I actually work with Doug. Good. I'm sorry.
Sorry. We're going to take a quick break and move this into the sunlight, and then we'll come back and hear more.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Okay, welcome back. We took a quick sun break.
Yeah, we moved out into,
much better.
Into the light.
I'm kind of sweaty now, though.
I'm easily the paciest one here, so
trying to get on the level.
Yeah, right on. So before we stopped, Ron, we were just getting into talking a little bit about your training.
Okay, so I've actually worked under a couple different coaches recently last year. Doug came on as mm-hmm. my coach.
Doug who?
Doug Chapman.
Okay.
And he's got a pretty good background. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good. What, Neil Maddox?
Yeah.
China Joe.
Somebody said he was the 18th affiliate. So he just has a lot of
He's been around.
Experience. He's been around for a really long time.
Very cool.
So he's got a good program. But with that, there's a lot of things that I do need to work on. And mm-hmm. like Annie, I have Duke Van Vliet, who's come on as my gymnastics coach, who's mm-hmm. really helped through the Open, through our qualifier. During the qualifiers, there is a lot of strategy
mm-hmm.
that we have to do. And especially as Masters athletes, because we do have our weaknesses and points that we need to work on. Mm-hmm. And he helped me kind of like sit down and, okay, let's piece this out. Let's look at let's test it. Let's do this. I had actually done one of them one day, and he goes, all right, we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll get this down. This is how we're going to approach it. Mm-hmm. And I, slayed my first score. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pluses in having that person right there on scene looking at what you're doing and going, okay, this is what we need to correct, this is what we need to do, because they know you that well. So having those specialty coaches is huge.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, let me ask you this. Going to the Open, what's the difference that you might do when it comes to handling the workouts? It's 5 weeks long.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful about how many repeats, or do you? Tell me a little bit about that and how it might be different from, say, a 20-year-old young buck with no kids, not really a job, who can just kind of chill out and train. Well, what's the difference?
One of the big things, and I mean, any one of us masters that has jobs, that's the difference, too, is that a lot of people – I have a good story beyond that, but I get long-winded. So we have – so many other obligations in our lives. If you look at 90% of the masters are, we're either professionals, we have jobs outside of what we do. Mm-hmm. We have to make the time to train. And if you're not fortunate enough, like myself, I'm a firefighter, so I have extra time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can actually work out at the station.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 days off in between my shift days where mm-hmm. I can actually work out. And I'm putting 4 to 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Training
in the gym.
Yep.
So
you train a lot.
Yeah.
Your training volume is pretty high then.
It is. And the way Doug programs for us, he gives you kind of a blanket things. This is what you need to cover. And then Duke will come in and help me go, okay, let's do this, this, and this. And we're going to put gymnastics in here. Mm-hmm. And we'll work on this end of the gymnastics portion of this. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, a lot. Well, so when you go into the qualifiers, to answer your question. So when you go into the qualifiers and stuff like that, we're having to really break those things down and go, okay, when am I going to do this? We got 4 days, mm-hmm. 5 days to do four workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to fit it in there and going, okay, if I need to double this up, how am I going to approach this?
Yeah.
There's a lot involved in doing it and wanting to be successful too, because you have people that
mm-hmm.
are trying to help you as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And what about you?
How do you balance?
Yeah. In the Open specifically.
In the Open or the qualifiers?
Let's talk about the Open.
The Open, I always went in the mindset with I would leave it open to do the workouts twice. So, once on Friday, once on a repeat on Monday. And you almost have to go in with that mentality, because if you do it once and then you think you're done and then you realize you have to redo it, it can be really hard to motivate to redo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
So I always kind of went in with that mentality, and then it would just be a little bit how I felt on that Monday and watching some of the scores come in. But the Masters are worse than anybody else.
We wait till the last minute to post.
It's a game that we all play.
It's like poker.
Yep.
Yeah. No one wants to show their hand.
Wants to show their hand until nobody can do anything about
that
it.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
I love when I see a post when someone does that. They're like, come on, everyone post your scores. I'm doing it. And I'm like, you're not playing the game.
Yeah. Because it's a game.
You're not
going to
guilt them into doing that with a Facebook post.
Nope. But I'll tell you, and it is like the end of the 5 weeks, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
You want to be done. It's hard to do that last one twice, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you have a couple breaks between that and then the qualifier. And a lot of that too, like being done is so much of your training all of a sudden revolves around just the open workouts.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's hard. You know, you're doing the same workouts. Yeah. You're kind of manipulating some of your lifting, some of your gymnastics to make sure that you're the best for the open workouts. Again, it's the game that you have to play.
Yeah.
We know what it is when we sign up for it, but it's just hard that you kind of have to switch gears and everything is for the open.
Yeah. Did you do 16.5 twice?
Hell no.
Oh, I did. I did. It was horrible.
I think it's at the point now where almost everyone has to redo the open workouts like to get the best score they can. But with the Masters, it's different because your score or placement in the open dictates where you start in the qualifier, right?
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Some strategy there?
That's a big part. I think that's why a lot of the game goes on with how late you put your score in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you just know you do good. You're like, all right, I did good on that. I'm going to go ahead and just post this and you'll be okay. But then you'll have these guys come out of the woodwork and you're going, whoa, man, what the heck? Where did this guy come from? And the way they design the workouts, there's always going to be strengths for some of the people. You'll have those gymnastic guys that will just kill or crush or wad, maybe that are in the lower echelon, and then they'll bump everybody else down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that will affect your score.
Yep,
gotcha.
It does. That happened in the qualifier. I'll tell you what, that pull that Ben Smith's dad pulled, 600 pounds.
Yeah.
That messed up Ron. That messed up Ron's
play. Grown man strength.
It just messed up my soul.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck?
Go ahead.
No, you got it, man.
I was going to ask you, Annie. So we talked with Jason earlier, and we talked a lot about how he programs for his athletes. Do you have like a yearly kind of a plan, like planned out from the end of the open or into the qualifier to the next
year?
We
don't know if she's going to be alive that long. She just turned 40.
Wow. The plan is to stay alive.
Just stay alive.
Might not be worth his time to do that. I just started working with Jason last October, so we've only been working together about 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
But when I very first talked to him, I mean, what I loved about Jason was he said, I have a plan in place, and it's going to have you peak for the open and the qualifiers, and then I'm going to back off, and it's going to have you peak again for the game. So, and I just put my trust in that, and I'm glad that I am because it's working out. He has a very—I don't know if you listened to any of his lectures or anything—but he has a very detailed plan. He knows what he's talking about, and it's very methodical.
So you're not just going in there blind without you know any kind of roadmap.
Exactly. Yeah. The idea is very much to peak and then back off, and that's one of the reasons I chose not to do regionals this year is because I want to. The idea is not to hold. Who can hold a peak that long?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I was gonna say, do you feel like that's maybe even more important for Masters level athletes?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, really, and even in the games, even at the young level, the game is recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's how fast can you recover and be good for the next event.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it is with most all sports,
right?
That's
a great
point. The game is recovery.
Yeah.
But even more so with Masters athletes, it's because it is just harder to recover.
Yeah. It's a test of durability.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, while we're talking about it, what do you do for recovery?
I really try to make sure that I'm getting 8 hours of good sleep, and that's not always an option. I have two. and they're 9 and 7, and so we're still like we still help them brush their teeth a lot of the nights. Exactly. But one of the things that I've done, because I used to put the kids to bed and then that's when I would get on the computer and do my emails and blah blah blah, and then you know that can. If you get on the computer at 9 o'clock at night,
are you staying until midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've done this year is when I put them to bed at 8:39, I go to bed right after. I lay down. I mean, we're brushing teeth together, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I shower half the time together, and then I try to go to bed right when she does.
Yeah.
And then nutrition, the food is the other thing that I really try and that's the hardest thing is. Just making sure that it's all planned out for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my husband doesn't want to eat exactly how I want to eat. My kids don't want to eat exactly how I want to eat. So it's finding that balance where everybody's getting good, healthy food, but everybody's happy and their needs are met.
Yeah. How do you eat specifically?
I'm like probably 80% paleo.
Okay.
And that works for me. I have some cream in my coffee. Yeah. I have
I've cut back completely on a lot of the. So I used to be really strict paleo, and when I'd gone on the grid, the guys were like, "Bro, you're gonna die.
Yeah,
carbs.
You need carbohydrates." And I was like sitting there one day, and Christian Harris is like eating this big stack of potatoes. I'm like, "Fuck this! I'm gonna get there." So I started eating a lot of carbs, and I began to notice. Okay, so my performance went up, and I'm still. I just did that VO2 thing, and my lean body mass is like, I'm ridiculous. So I have to eat carbohydrates to survive.
If I'm going
to
listen to
bro. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you right now, if I don't, I'm done. And I noticed my energy drop. I was fortunate last week. I spent the week with the Mayhem crew over there. I don't know. Those guys don't eat. I don't know what is
up. Oh, yeah. I've been around Rich. He just drinks shakes all day.
They don't
crazy.
Eat.
Yeah.
I'm like, crazy. Got to eat. So I've noticed along with that, too. So nutrition is huge. Sleep is huge. And it's usually a giant hole in my plan. With being a firefighter, too, our sleep is so screwed up.
Yeah. You know,
it's not that we get a ton of calls, but two calls after midnight, I'm getting now like 4 hours, maybe 2 hours of sleep.
And the whole interrupted sleep is
terrible. And you never sleep completely sound. So that's a big thing. So I try to make up for it everywhere else. When I go to the gym, I try and take like rest spells in between certain exercises and stuff where we're just sitting down, rolling out or doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I also try to have really good vitamins in there. So good fish oil. Those things are really important, I think, for us as masters because there's certain things that we're not going to get through other means. One of those we were just talking about 2 days ago was magnesium is so huge for a lot of things. There's like a giant deficiency in a lot of things that we have, and one of them is the magnesium. So
listen to this kiss.
Lucky dog.
That was for Dave Newman.
Love you, bud.
One of my biggest supporters.
He's huge.
See you, Dave.
Are you saying magnesium?
So, no, there's a lot of different. To just narrow it down to the one thing, but there's a lot of people that are really magnesium
deficient.
And magnesium helps with, like, sleep at night. This is some of the things I didn't know. That smooth muscle relaxer helps you chill out.
ZMA, right?
There's also just regular magnesium, but you got to be careful.
Yeah, because sometimes you just blow that toilet.
Don't take too much.
I did the natural calm for a little while.
Oh, no, I can't take that stuff.
And I was like, wait, I'm not sleeping because I'm in the bathroom. Like, maybe I could be sleeping if I wasn't in the bathroom.
Oh, that's so funny.
I got so tired, I can't do it. I got to poop again.
I want to ask you a little bit about how much it's changed over the years. So obviously the workouts now are harder. They're more demanding. There's more volume. The games went from like 1 day to 2 days to 3 days to 6 days. Along with that, we're getting older. How do you handle the training volume to keep up with, you know, the new volume that demands in the sport?
Yeah.
Well, that's why, to me, I have to say the last couple of years, again, I love competing in regionals, but to be honest, I really didn't even want to necessarily make it back to the games because for the open division, their volume is
ridiculous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It would put me in my grave.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I haven't done a games as a masters, but the workload looks much more appropriate to our age group. So I think they've actually done a really good job of skill, strength, and volume. To me it looks almost more like regionals, which for me I can manage regionals.
Sure.
It's tough, but it's totally doable.
Six, seven workouts.
Yep. And I feel, you know, you might feel beat up after, but not obliterated.
Right.
And the masters workouts look to me a little bit more like a regionals weekend.
Yeah.
And that, like, for that, I'd love to go because I think in our training we prep for that. You know, you start to. I'm not doing 2-3 workouts. Longer workouts a day yet, but I'm sure as we near starts coming.
What's a typical day of training for you?
A typical day of training is usually I do gymnastics 2 or 3 days a week, and then Olympic lifting 4 days a week, and then some sort of metabolic conditioning or workouts 5 days a week.
Okay, so like when you say gymnastics, you mean like that's like just a gymnastics only focused session?
Yep.
Very cool.
So yeah, so I mean that's what comprises the 4 to 6 hours of work, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to do gymnastics, Dave will give me, you know, between 3 and 6 elements that I'm going to be working on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's mobility style stuff, but a lot of times it's sequencing of chest to bar muscle ups, mm-hmm. or, you know, different handstand deficit, strict push-ups, whatever that might be. And then the Olympic lifting, which can easily take 2 hours. And then a workout or two.
So it sounds like a lot of practice and not necessarily like beating yourself down every day. So like,
right.
Let's talk about like beat down workouts. How often do those come up, you know, in a week? Not that often?
No.
Yeah. And why is that?
I think Jason, like what he programs me, my workouts can be very effective, mm-hmm. Without totally beating me down. And that's important, right? Because
minimum dose
to be effective, mm-hmm. and come back the next day and be able to do it again.
Yeah.
And Jason's really good because he'll give me a lot of, like if I'm rowing, he'll give me a certain pace that I have to hold. If I'm, you know, running, he'll give me a pace that I have to, mm-hmm. hold. Or on the assault bike, a wattage that I have to hold. And so that's where the push will come in for me, which is great.
So very, very specific parameters for you to work in so that you don't blow yourself up.
Right. Yeah. And he's not always so specific, but a lot of workouts are very specific like that, and it's good.
What about you, Ron?
I think mine, the last little bit, and that's having to do with like the open and the qualifiers. It seemed like it was kind of scaling down because Doug did that with the Masters. He like kind of scaled us down a little bit, but before that, we have a lot of beat down workouts. It's like continual, like leaving the gym, limping to my car, getting in my car, going, oh my God, I don't know if I could do this tomorrow. So a lot of that, that's kind of how he programs. Duke is really good because he'll come in and go, okay, so we got, let's say, these handstand push-up sets. I want you to approach it like this. So then Doug and he kind of work together. And then what I'm doing twice a week, I was having active recovery days, and I've been starting to work with Chris Henshaw, and Chris, mm-hmm. Chris's workouts are pretty beat down. They'll beat you up. He puts you on the track.
What's his specialty again?
He's aerobic capacity.
Right.
I mean, just crazy good at getting your numbers back into perspective where you need to be.
Like your VO2 max.
VO2 max. See, that's the thing. So I did my VO2 max, and it kind of came out. It was really good. Mm-hmm. It came out superior. But my aerobic capacity was really crappy. And Chris is looking at me and he goes, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Because I just did a workout with him. You couldn't have done that workout on the track if your aerobic capacity was that bad.
Yeah.
So I think I do a lot of stuff on the rower. It's kind of my favorite thing. So I think he's going to kind of transfer that now more to the track, which I'm not excited about, and then to probably the air assault, which I'm even less excited about. So there's a lot of beat-down workouts that we do through Doug, and his theory is kind of to keep you at that point where you're, like, really on the threshold of just, like, falling out and then taper you
just
off
under
when you get to the games. And then when you get to the games, you're ready to go.
Gotcha.
And it seemed to work so far. It really does. You know, you end up having to really kind of keep check on your body and make sure things are staying together. You're not falling apart.
Have you been with your current coaches for a while? Like, how long have you been?
Well, Duke and I started probably about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
Chris, I had met him before that. And he's worked with me, continued just sending me workouts and stuff. And then Doug, I've been with him for about a year.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So, like, what would you say to a person that, you know, maybe is just starting out in their master's, you know, competition journey? Like, what would they do? Like, what were you doing when you first started?
Well, see, that's the thing is I had a gentleman just talk to me here. And that's the cool part about what we do. We have a lot of people that I'm blessed to be where I'm at. Like, you have a lot of people asking you questions, and they're looking up to you and go – and. My first thing, honestly, is if you want to be competitive, number one, you start competing. Mm-hmm. Find a little competition somewhere. Start finding where you're lacking, mm-hmm. and then definitely get a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, you can have a great gym. CrossFit gyms are amazing, and they've saved people's lives. They've probably saved my life because at one point I was kind of fat and chunky. But
you could never tell.
So
that was back when he was Asian.
I was a short Asian.
Short Asian.
But you know, it's the thing is that to find somebody who's going to be able to program for you and start to find those weaknesses, mm-hmm. whether it's somebody even in your gym that just has is aspiring to do that, and, mm-hmm. and they can help you along the way because they're going to learn at the same pace you're learning. And then when you get to a higher level, you got to have somebody who knows all those capacities, mm-hmm, your energy systems, the things that are important. And then those are things that Jason and these guys are just phenomenal at.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
They talk and you're going, my son actually is getting, he got his degree in kinesiology and stuff. And
very cool.
He was talking to me. He's like, Dad, he starts talking about all this stuff. I'm like, going,
huh?
Listen,
talk to my coach about that.
Exactly.
I'm the athlete. You're
talking, I just do what I'm
damn
told.
It, son.
You're talking over Dad's head right now, and I don't like it.
You know what? I
just don't say anything. Just go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty right. good.
Well, he wants to program for me. He's like, Dad, can I program for you? I was like, Dad, listen, I'd rather have you. Hopefully we'll get him underneath Chris for a little bit.
Ooh, and a little burn there. Yeah, yeah. You got that tough. I'm good, son.
I would love to have him do it, but I want him to get better experience. He's like, oh, no, Dad. You know, everybody knows Ron and Annie, and if I start programming for you guys, no, you need to get underneath a guy like Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get underneath Chris Henshaw or somebody like that.
You need to intern. Yeah. I think, you know, Dave Durante came out, and he did a little seminar at our gym, a gymnastics mm-hmm. seminar, and one of the things he said that, this is my philosophy, but he put it into beautiful words. He said, I'm not here to get you that one rep for that one workout. Mm-hmm. I am here to enhance your gymnastics experience. And so what that means is a lot for most people, but this would be my advice to most, especially masters, mm-hmm. but basically anybody aspiring to do CrossFit, is that you have to do a lot of the real unsexy, mm-hmm. Monotonous, tedious work on the front end, mm-hmm. if you really think that you're going to have a career mm-hmm. in competing.
Yeah.
Because if you're just trying to get that one bar muscle up for that one workout and it's a chicken wing any way you can over the bar, I can guarantee you right now that your career will be very short. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you can learn the fundamentals, if you can learn how to deadlift before you try to clean, mm-hmm. you know, if you can make sure that you've got a good sound squat before you start snatching,
absolutely,
then your career mm-hmm. is infinite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because CrossFit has put it that now you could compete when you're 60, 70 years old.
Yeah.
So really, if you can look at it that your potential athletic competitive career is infinite, mm-hmm. then it behooves you to start with the basics and the fundamentals.
Yeah, and that's good advice for anybody.
Right?
Yeah, like at any age.
At any age.
Yeah, because this is a long game.
It should be
a long game.
I want to ask you what advice you would have for mothers, you know, with children, that want to compete, you know, let's say masters that, you know, have chaotic lives and are very short on time. Like what's like some very simple habits or advice that you could give them?
The number one thing for me is support crew. I have such an extended crew of people that help me in so many ways, obviously from my husband who gives me unconditional support to, we have a nanny. We're lucky enough to be able to have a nanny, to even just friends and family mm-hmm. and people around my gym that help us in so many ways. To have a really good support staff. Any of us that are competing, mm-hmm. we have a support staff
absolutely.
That runs, you know, 50 deep. And then for me, it's really just about planning ahead. Mm-hmm. I've got to know what the meals are going to be for the week. I've got to know who has to be where, when, and where my training is going to fit in and where I might have to bite it and not train or shorten it. But the planning is, I got to look a week ahead. And a lot of that for me is the meal prep.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed too, because, you know, we had a campfire night the other night and they had me talk and I got to be long-winded there too, which is good. But I found myself talking most about my wife uh-huh. because without her support in what I do, mm-hmm. it could never be done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting home from the gym at 6:30, 7 o'clock. She has dinner. She's already worked and coached earlier classes in the day. She's there. It was a lot more difficult mm-hmm. before she actually went to the games with me last. She was at the games with me. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she would be like, what the heck, man? It's like 7 o'clock. What are you doing home so mm-hmm. late? Blah, 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 blah. But once she experienced that competitive part of what has to be done and what we need to put out, even being here, I've been fortunate. I've been here for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and
she let you.
Oh, my gosh.
She gave you permission.
She just goes, you need to do what you need to do. She understands. I'm bummed because I couldn't have her here. I mean, she really wanted to be here, but we have kids graduating, mm-hmm. and it's just so much. So, yeah, having that family to be able to support you. And
yeah, support is huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
What you can do without it. You could do it, but it would always be something in the back of your head going, oh, my gosh, you know, am I?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And a lot of what you do is, or a lot of what I do is for that support crew that I have, you know, they help drive me. It's it's wanting to be better for my kids, for my husband, for my friends, for my family, to be an inspiring athlete, mother, coach, friend.
Yeah. And I like what you said, Ron. Like you said, you just got to do it. You know, like if you want to get to that level, there's no excuses. It's you want to do it because you're going to do it because you want to do it.
Well, and there's definitely a little bit of selfishness that plays in. But there's other opportunities for us to be selfless too,
right.
And to you know, to give back. But it there's many a day where I'm like, I feel so selfish right now. But I think. Yeah. You know, the family and everybody's is kind enough to let that happen.
Yeah, that's good advice. I want to be conscious of y'all's time. I appreciate everything you're sharing with us, but we've got some questions that we asked online, if you don't mind answering a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
Some fans out there.
I didn't know if anybody was going to answer. You told us that, and I was like, ah.
What's that?
No.
This is from Instagram.
Barbell Shrug Podcast. Go follow.
Yeah, so as masters athletes – has your training changed over the years, frequency, heavy days versus light days? So we kind of touched on that, but anything you could, you know. What? Oh, sorry. Wampler Chris.
Wampler
Chris.
Wampler Chris. For me, it's just, you know, when I look at the original days of CrossFit, we literally went in, did it, which is what most CrossFitters do. Mm-hmm. You do an hour workout and you're done. Mm-hmm. And some days that, you know, that would mean maybe a small strength component and then a wad and you were done. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, not only are the sessions longer, but they're much more purposeful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're squatting this day, you're snatching this day, you're cleaning. Yeah. I mean, it's very laid out. And CrossFit started as random.
Yeah.
That was the whole idea, was it was random.
Well, that first workout you named when we started this episode was, you named, was it running?
Deadlifts
and
cargo nets, on a pommel horse.
Pastors. So it was weightlifting, gymnastics, and monostructural. So very simple and very classic CrossFit. It's kind of cool. All right. Is there anything you want to add to that? I apologize.
I mean, honestly, same thing. I mean, it's just more intense.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping track of things. I think we're keeping track of things more and more because you want to see where you're at each week, how your lifting's gotten, if you're starting to lose anything here, gaining anything there. And then it's always monitoring the skills that you're needing to work on.
Sure.
Those gymnastic skills for me, because I'm a bigger guy, it's like I really have to monitor those and make sure that I hit those every week. And I'm religious about making sure that those things get done.
Attacking your weaknesses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want those things to be your semi-strengths when you go into where you're going.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, next one from at Sherry Gall. Annie, you have long been my favorite. I know how hard you work. Could you talk about your nutrition?
Shut up. Thank you very much, first of all, Sherry?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, Sherry thank you very much. Nutrition-wise, I eat all meat. I love meat and fish. I eat a lot of Japanese sweet potatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
Go figure.
Oh, they're so, shut up.
Are you part Japanese?
Just a little. Okay. I'm half. And I eat a lot of rice. Go ahead. More Japanese.
I'm part Asian too. I know about it. Yeah, quarter Chinese.
Yes.
What up, Asian?
I like it. The mixes.
Yeah.
Lots of veggies. Not too much fruit. I mean, I will have some. And I try to be, like I said, about 80% paleo. Mm-hmm. But
what's the 20%?
Definitely some
donuts.
Dairy. Donuts don't do it for me.
Oh,
I have chocolate every night, though. Every night after dinner, I have probably half a bar of chocolate.
Dark chocolate?
Dark.
That's like my
parents
do the same thing.
Yeah. But you know, it's actually
delicious.
I just heard something really good, the fact that when you have something like that before you go to bed, it kind of gives you that insulin dump, and you sleep
heavier. Yeah, it drops your cortisol.
Yeah.
It lowers your stress levels. You feel good.
Yeah.
Bam.
Good excuse.
From at Noah Olson. Ron, how are you so big and handsome, and how is Annie always smiling?
Well, wait. Those questions should be redirected back to Noah.
Yeah, thank you.
Someone else called him out. We'll get there.
He's always smiling.
I love that kid.
And so, then someone else at Josh Cooper 77 said, "How are you always sneaking up in the Shrugged comments?" Boom, spotted you.
Noah. So we were just joking around. Talane is here as well, and we used to have these like group sessions. It was like Guido, Noah, myself, a couple of the bigger athletes from South Florida. And Noah was just like the little guy. It's like, oh, okay, here comes Noah. Yeah, come
I
on,
remember,
Noah.
Yeah.
Like a little puppy.
It was awesome. It was awesome. He just and he's just blossomed in this friggin' amazing person. Yep. You know, yeah.
He did okay, huh?
He's pretty good. He's all right. He's pretty good muscle ups now too.
One, last one from at Project Silver. I don't know why I keep saying at. I just say Project Silver Fox. What does weekly training volume and recovery look like? So. Again, we touched on that a little bit, but just any kind of like little tidbit you could give here for them would be great.
You know, recovery for me, I do a lot of active recovery stuff, and that's where Chris has helped a lot too, because for a while I was getting a little bit boring. I'd have a 10K row or a 5K row.
Oh.
That was my active recovery. Oh. And it was supposed to be at a pace where you could talk. Mm-hmm. And I would get going. For a matter of fact, I did one the other night, and I got done, and my wife's like, "That wasn't active recovery." Leaning on the counter, like, oh.
Some days you feel like getting it.
I just get bored sometimes. I'm on the rower. I'm like, oh, my God. And then the next thing you know, I'm you know, at a ridiculous pace. So active recovery is really important for me. I feel better doing something. Mm-hmm. If I don't do anything, I, like, get pain.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're the same. I get like literally if I sit down on a couch for like any length of time, I get up, I'm like, oh my God, what is So I try to always be doing something.
Yeah.
And then I have to stay away from the gym those days because I find myself if I go and somebody's like, "Hey Ron, you wanna do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." So really important to take that rest serious.
Yeah.
And eat well that day. That day should be like active recovery, but also good healthy eating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Making sure you're getting all your nutrients, everything you need for your body to start up the next day.
One of the big things we do on the weekends is we always, I mean, with the kids, we want to anyways, but we always try to do something fun. So a lot of times we'll take the kids surfing.
Yeah.
I might surf a little bit, but it's more about the kids surfing or swimming, or usually for us it's kind of water-based. But yeah, something active that we can do with the kids where it's about them. And that's obviously active recovery, both for my body, but really for the mind and the spirit.
Yeah. It's a rejuvenating activity.
Totally.
That great. Thank you. You know, the biggest thing I noticed from you two, and I'm gonna kiss your butt for a second here. So I look at you guys as idols, and when I get to this point, like, I really hope that I'm in this good of shape still, and I'm still kicking ass. So I'm learning a lot from y'all right now, and I appreciate it. But the biggest thing I notice is how much fun you guys are still having. You know, like, not once have I heard anything negative come out, like, "I have to do this in training," or "we gotta go do this." Like you guys have been smiling since we showed up and you haven't stopped, and it's really awesome. And I think that could be something that's really important to take away.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's it for me, is that I still take so much joy out of CrossFit, out of coaching CrossFit, and then out of competing. And I've always said, as soon as competing isn't fun for me anymore, I won't compete. Because CrossFit brings me so much joy, even if it's just as an everyday CrossFitter and as a coach and a gym owner, that I wouldn't sacrifice competing for that feeling.
Yeah.
Because it is so much fun.
Yeah.
I have a you know, I was just thinking, I was like, man, I need to give you the group that I work out with now. They're like my kids. That's a big joke. It's like Sherry's like, they're all like in, you know, 20, maybe a 30-year-old. I could still be their dad. But to be there with them keeps you young. As hard as the workouts are, we get done, you're high-fiving, hugging each other and stuff like that. So that camaraderie that you have, it's always there. It's like we have here with these, everybody here, you leave here and you're like best friends with everybody. So it, you know, and experience that wherever I go. If you go to somebody else's group, it's the same feeling when you get done and you've expended that energy, and it's amazing. Yeah. It keeps you young.
I'm
pretty sure if there's a workout in the games this year that involves fun,
we're
going to win.
We got it.
Who can have the most
fun?
That's winning.
Awesome.
Us.
I wish they could measure that.
I just have one more question. And Ron, we kind of talked about this earlier, but like, what do you want to say to people like y'all's age that are like, "Wow, I can't get into this. I don't know what to do." Yeah. Like, what do you want to say to you?
Especially when a 20-year-old's telling them they need to get in shape.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even know. And you know what? I don't.
I we get it a lot. There's a guys at the fire station that will they have a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is do you want to feel good every day? Mm-hmm. You know, every day you can feel good about not only yourself, but about what you're doing. I just encourage people to continue to grow, you know, rather mm-hmm. than settle. A lot of older people are like, no, I'm too old to do that. I'm like, bullshit. You're not too old to do it. You just got to get up and do it.
Yeah.
Start somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether you're walking, whether you're doing I mean, there's groups that my wife has coached that are like, you know, in their 60s and 70s. And I'm like, God, man, that is amazing.
Rich,
at Mayhem, I was just there. And they have a class that's literally all older people. And some of them are progressing to the younger people's class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I told Darren, I was like, man, that's genius. Mm-hmm. That is genius because there's so many people that kind of throw in the towel at a certain mm-hmm. point. And they go, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
Just get
I think
and
physically
it.
And like not wanting to learn anything new.
Yeah.
Not wanting to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Nothing keeps you young like learning, mm-hmm. you know, trying to learn
kill
new
complacency.
Things.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Kill complacency.
I like it. Bro.
I just thought of that.
Bam.
So good.
T-shirt.
I think it was inspired by kill
T-shirt.
Oh, yeah,
T-shirt. I like it. Yeah. Kill.
Wow. That just happened.
That's a good ending there. Let's just stop there.
Yeah. Let's stop there.
Thank you. Guys.
Where can we find you guys? Anything you want to plug? Like, just tell us where we can find you and more
Power
information
Monkey
about
Camp.
It.
Power Monkey Camp. Power Monkey Camp. Packs for the next couple of days, right?
Yep. Next couple of days. Back again in October.
Man. And at the games.
At the games.
Carson. You did it.
Yeah. What about social media?
I'm horrible with social media. But at Annie Kimiko, AnnieKimiko. I'm on there every once in a while. That's
Is that your Instagram or Twitter or?
Yes.
Instagram.
It's Instagram. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I've tried to get better. Mine's at Strong Ortiz.
Okay.
No, he's good. You're good.
Strong on the track. I try.
Oh,
yeah.
We tagged him. We tagged him on Instagram.
Yeah, we tagged both of y'all.
Yeah. I try.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah.
I'm like,
very
I'm,
cool.
I have dead spots in my
Yeah.
I'll do really good for like a week, and I was like 4 weeks later, it's like, hey, Ron, you need me.
Well, it's kind of a millennial thing, you know. It's
it's very telling of our age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool,
thanks
guys.
So much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming
so
on.
This is awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right.